Race Hour. The music is playing, so that must mean we are getting ready to start a new broadcast here today. The Grace Hour is a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Barry Quirk, and I'm joined today by Pastor Chris Armin here in the studio.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we're going to be talking about practical evangelism, as we have been throughout this week. Today's topic is a unique one, Pastor Chris, and first of all, great to be here with you in the studios.
Likewise.
I'm looking forward to talking about this subject, preaching the gospel without words. That's the title of our topic, and you know, there's a lot of questions about preaching the gospel without words, and valid questions, and I think we have some great answers and some great insights on this that we can talk about. If you're out there today and you'd like to join us on the program, you may do so by calling us. You can call the numbers here locally, 410-483-3700, or outside of the Baltimore area, you can call 1-800-338-7060. You can also join us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and my favorite, Stitcher. I have never been on Stitcher, but it sounds like something that a kid would get when he cuts himself. And so, anyways, here we are. We're happy to be with you and to dive into this topic. So, the first thing we're talking about is can the gospel be shared without words? And of course, we've heard maybe the famous quote attributed to Francis of Assisi, which there's a lot of debate about that. We don't need a lot of chats. I understand that it may or may not have been, but the phrase is nevertheless a popular one. And it says, preach the gospel at all times, use words only when necessary. And what do you think about that comment?
I think like some background is good. Like, what is the heart of God, number one?
Yeah.
As it applies to how God wants the gospel to be disseminated and how God wants people to receive it. And the unlimited atonement is a great truth, somewhat not much debated, but it's a little bit of a debate against how God wants everyone to be saved. That shouldn't be a debate.
Yes.
But 2 Peter 3:9, also 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God wants all people to be saved. Mm-hmm. And if his heart is that all people will be saved, then really by any means necessary. So I think we were discussing this earlier, that you can preach the gospel with words. You can also preach the gospel with your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But why not all of those things? I don't think it's just you can focus on one, but it's all of the above. And some people will come to Christ by seeing our lifestyle,
yeah.
But maybe God gives an opportunity for us to share our faith, and the Holy Spirit will lead us when it comes to that, I think.
Yeah, amen. And the interesting thing as I dug into that quote a little bit was that the background you find out from Francis of Assisi wasn't as much that he was saying, you know, just live your life before God and then people will see that and be saved. He was actually saying, listen, practice what you preach. Hmm. And we said earlier, and I think it's important to note again, that preaching the gospel happens, as you just mentioned, through all, you know, our activity, our hearing. If our activity isn't consistent with what we profess with our mouth, then we have a problem there, right? Somebody who's watching our lives and says, wow, I hear that guy talk one way, but his life is completely contrary to his talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's troubling also, right? So, you know, can we preach the gospel without words? Well, do your actions agree with what your words are, mm-hmm. right? Or do your actions preach another gospel, which is one that's not filled with grace and atonement?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see how God does I think a person will have many opportunities to hear the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be someone that could be a bad testimony for the gospel for a person, but then God will bring other people in their life that will communicate the gospel. So someone that really stands before God, it's not they will have had an opportunity to trust in God. Mm. God would not, it wouldn't be just for him to say, I'm condemning you without you having an opportunity to either accept or reject the gospel.
Yeah. God's a just God, right? And he's not going to hold us accountable for something that he doesn't give us an opportunity to make a decision for. So the gospel, he's faithful to preach the gospel through some means or method. And, you know, thankfully in our ministry, we have a lot of people who have decided to heed the call to go into all the earth and to make disciples, and we'll talk about that a little later, but this principle of preaching the gospel both in your words and your deeds, right? Like we could say somebody could have a great proclamation of the gospel, but if their life isn't consistent with that proclamation, then they probably have to really ask, is that proclamation an intellectual proclamation, or is it something that has resonance in their heart and as usefulness in their lives? Right? Wouldn't you say that somebody could have head knowledge and not experience that follows up with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus said it, that many people in that last day will say, Lord, Lord, I've done all these things. You know, I've had I think that's what it is, like you said, a head knowledge.
Yes.
And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm. Not I knew you and then I left you, but it was never a relationship. It was just an outward knowledge.
Yeah. And what in Christ do we see that is not 100% consistent in his word with this character? You know, do we ever see him say something that he's not, you know, God is love, right? Has he ever demonstrated where he's not love? Yeah. Even when he dealt with people in hard ways, when he was in the temple flipping over the tables, it was motivated by love, right? Mm-hmm. It's that people wouldn't be distracted by something that wasn't the pure gospel. And what does he call the gospel? You know, what is true religion in the Bible, right? That we love the fatherless and that we are going to the widow, and it's all the motive of the love of God. So this thought about, you know, what I do and what I say being congruous, I think, is a good one. You know, how is it possible for people to gain an understanding of the gospel by merely witnessing it? Is it possible? Or let me ask it this way. Can somebody who sees your life be drawn to Christ because they see things in your life that are different than the world, let's say? Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible, but I think it will bring a person to a question, and it will draw them, like they might ask the question, what's different about that person? So if you have that type of lifestyle, it should be accompanied by the declaration of they know who you are and what you stand for.
Yes.
And you say, like, I'm a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
They say, oh yeah, I can see that. Mm. I just had a situation like that at work that I shared at church the other day. Is that people, you know my background coming from the mission field, moving back. So they'll ask questions like, oh, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And I pray, and I think it happened, that I had a grace-motivated conversation. Mm-hmm. And the person that I spoke with just said, wow, that's, you know, like I haven't heard that before, you know? And you're very level-headed when you're answering these questions. You're not too, you know, like too high or too low about it. So
I love the fact that when we proclaim the gospel, it's based on truth, but it's something that we've experienced in our own lives, right? When you're speaking to somebody about the character and nature of God, it's because you've seen the character and nature of God demonstrated in your own life, right? If we don't have the character and nature of God, and we're trying to tell people about the character and nature of God, it's an empty conversation.
Yeah.
But we have been, you know, we are so rich in his grace and mercy in our lives. And earlier we talked about this a little bit. You know, does the person who's proclaiming the gospel have a perfect example for us? Well, not always. I mean, I think about being a parent and having your child, and, you know, your child sometimes learns about the grace of God not just by doing everything the right way or by watching us do everything the right way. Sometimes I have an argument with my wife in front of my child, and then I have to go to them later and say, boy, I'm really sorry Dad blew it in that situation. You know, really what I should have done is do it this way. And then she sees not only that I humble myself in that situation, but also the response I get from my spouse that's gracious and in love, and that there's unity at the end of that. And she learned a lesson about grace from something that happened that wasn't necessarily a positive situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think God, we're all witnesses, but to say that only our good behavior is going to draw people to Christ, sometimes the fact that we fall flat on our face in a public way and let God pick us up and use us is also a demonstration of his faith.
I absolutely agree. And you can see it in the sports world. You can see it, people that make mistakes but have a really contrite apology. And then there's those that make apologies that are not from the heart. And we can see that.
Yes.
You can see it very quickly on the outside. So
yes,
people can see that too. And I remember the story of D.L. Moody and how he would preach to thousands of people, and then he'll lose it in front of his family, and he had a temper.
Yes.
But then he would get on his knees to his kids and say, I'm a sinner too.
Mm.
Like, forgive me. I mean, I'm not perfect. Only God is perfect.
Mm.
But I'm growing. You know, God is, so forgive me.
Yes.
And they learn forgiveness.
Yep.
You know, people can learn forgiveness. And that's they see that in the gospel too.
Isn't it interesting that God uses human beings to be the vehicle for the gospel, right? Salvation, which is coming to a state of, you know, coming from a wicked, sinful background and being translated into the kingdom of his dear son, right? We are made righteous. We are made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who does he have walking around telling people about that? Sinners,
yeah,
saved by grace. And there's no mistake about it. We can't act our way into the kingdom of God, right? And maybe this is a good thought too that we talked about a little bit earlier. You know, you have the epistles of Paul that are all about by grace through faith are we saved, not of works, lest any man boast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we have a declaration of how our faith happens. It happens by grace through faith. We believe that what Jesus did for us is ours. In other words, he's calling us, as you said, he's beckoning to all of us. And we say, yes, Lord, you've given me the opportunity to get saved. So I'm going to receive that by grace through faith. And then you have, you know, the book of James that says faith without works is dead, right? And how do those two things agree with each other?
And you mentioned it earlier, but it's the same principle, but looked at from maybe two different angles,
mm-hmm,
right? The entrance or the declaration of your faith.
Yes.
And this is salvation. This is how it happens.
Right.
And then this is the result. This is a demonstration in your daily life.
Yes.
It'll come through.
Yes.
And they're going to be, even when in failure, there's going to be peaceable fruits of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some growth. Even the fact that someone has a conviction, like they have a sin that may beset them, but in their heart they're saying, I hate this.
Yeah.
That in itself is a fruit.
Yes.
And that in itself is a demonstration of faith, like an active faith that produces.
Yes. Yeah, beautiful. I love it. And join us here in the conversation if you'd like. You can call in. Again, our number's 1-800-338-7060. 1-800-338-7060. See, I failed. I corrected.
Yeah.
And now I'm demonstrating the grace of God. The local number is 483-3700. That's 410-483-3700. So, do people gain an understanding of the gospel by watching our lives? Yes, of course. You know, if we are living in a neighborhood and our only communication publicly with our neighbors is them hearing us shouting at our children in negativity and in cursing, we're probably not going to draw people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if they see that we have it well put together, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get saved by that activity either. We might just be people who live at the good side of the fruit, you know, the tree of good knowledge. What do you think? What's the next step to having that life that is demonstrating the declaration? But isn't there a place where you have to put feet on that gospel?
I think I really believe so. And I was reading Romans 10 verse 14, and that really pretty much spells it out. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed.
Mm.
Like, you know, how can you're calling on someone because you're believing something about that person, about God. And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard?
Mm.
So I'm what we have heard, the specific revelation about God is found in the scriptures.
Yes.
And it's declared to us who God is and what he's done for us. And it says, how shall they hear without a preacher?
Mm.
So they may see my life, but whether it's me giving them that message or God giving them that message and they say, oh, those match. I see that together. I think God will always bring in the gospel, or else why did the word in John 1:1 come to this earth? And what did he do when he came to this earth? He talked to people. He spoke to people. So,
yes. Yeah. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Actually, we have one of our writers, Dietmar, who's writing down, faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. The standard is Jesus Christ. It's not us, right? Mm-hmm. By the grace of God, we're able to get up. We, you know, the just falls how many times in a day, mm-hmm. right? And every time we get up, every time we get up, the unjust person maybe falls one time, but lives in that unjust failure.
And stays down.
Our character, you know, the fact that we come to Christ by faith through grace, and we are able to hear the salvation call and answer that call and say yes and live in Christ, is what qualifies us to be a believer. But how many of us became a believer without hearing somebody preach the gospel to us? You know, we had some way, shape, or form the gospel was preached. Now, there are places, and this is a good conversation to have maybe, there are places in the earth where there is remote life. You've been a missionary in Malawi and a number of different places, and I'm sure have gone to some remote villages where, you know, there's not a television station playing, you know, the local televangelist.
Sure.
How do you think it is that God reaches those places, and what, you know, what does he do for the gospel, and does it ever happen without the word being shared?
I think the preparation, in my experience, the preparation is there. And then once that is responded, someone responds to that preparation, like it says in John 6:44, that nobody can come to Christ. Christ said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws he or she.
Mm-hmm.
And God is always drawing people. If once they respond, then he gives them light and more light and more light. And I had this one experience that actually happened in Budapest.
Oh, wow.
I was out evangelizing, and I met a guy on the street that was from Algeria.
Mm.
His name was David. And we started talking, and he said, I'm a believer. And I said, wow, that's amazing. How did you become a believer from Algeria? And he told me this amazing story that he was in university, and he and his roommate they were in a dorm, and he came one day and he found a Bible on his desk, and he has no idea how it got there.
Mm.
His roommate didn't put it there. Someone put it there. And he kind of danced around that Bible for a few weeks and saying, like, I don't know if I want to open it. You know, if I open it, maybe I'll get converted.
Wow.
But, you know, this inner dialogue that he had in his mind, he said, and it was the Holy Spirit, of course, just start somewhere. Read the book of Proverbs. At least you'll get smarter. You know, you get some wisdom. So he went through the book of Proverbs, and he loved it. And then his hunger just got more and more.
Mm.
And then he said, all right, let me read the book of John, one of the Gospels. I want to see what, you know, I know in Islam what they talk about Christ. Let's see what the Christians say about Christ.
Mm.
And so he read the book of John, and he just saw blatantly that Christ is God.
Wow.
And after, I mean, someone didn't preach to him, but the word preached to him.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit used the word, and he made a decision in his heart to say, I believe this Jesus.
Mm.
And he became a pastor. And when I met him, he had been, I think, 5 years pastoring in an underground church in Algeria, meeting in the forest, and just had incredible stories. He would go between Algeria and France and bring literature. He said one time he brought a portable printing press into Algeria.
Oh, wow.
And they asked him, what is that? And he did like a Jedi mind trick. He said, you don't need to look at that. You're right. We don't need to look at that.
Oh.
And they let him go right through. and he started printing material.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's an example, but that I think those are many examples how when someone's hungering for God, God, if he said, if you seek me, you'll find me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, God's not going to look at somebody who has a heart after him and leave him with, you know, lacking in that area. And we have heard stories. We've read the missionary biographies. We've heard the stories from Bruchko. Missionaries would show up in a remote area and start talking about the God of creation or the God of grace. And they would say, we knew from seeing the stars that there was somebody, that this was bigger than ourselves. Mm-hmm. We knew that there's somebody, we just didn't know his name, right? And God had prepared their hearts. And we've heard a lot in the Islamic world how people have come to Christ by seeing something in a dream, that God would reveal himself to them in a dream. But there was always a follow-up of somebody, you know, demonstrating the word of God or explaining to them who that was that they saw. And so the Holy Spirit does the drawing, as we know. But then God uses us to communicate the gospel. And, you know, wherever we go, there's the profound opportunity to bring people to Christ. And, you know, maybe this is, we could hit on this again, but there's a lot of different thoughts about evangelism. You know, there's friendship evangelism, which, you know, would we say that friendship evangelism is an important thing?
Absolutely.
I mean, when you were working recently, you had a chance, as you mentioned, you met with people who you knew, and then there were other people who you didn't know, and people who, as you started talking, wanted to know about your life, and you had a chance to share that with them. But it started out with the, hey, I'm Chris, right? Yeah.
And just being open and being hospitable, you know, and sharing your life with someone. And yeah, God is so faithful. When you open your mouth, he will fill it. And that happened with one of these guys. He just asked a simple question, like, what is faith? And I didn't want to just answer it like a textbook answer. I said, God, give me an answer that will help him, that will encourage him. Who knows how it will go in his life. But I just said, you know, because he's a new dad.
Yeah.
And he has a young daughter. And I just said, you know, faith is like your love towards your daughter. You know, your love towards your daughter is a picture of grace. And then when your daughter responds to your love, that's faith. When she lets you hug her, when she says, thank you, daddy, or when she gets something from you, that's a response to the love that you're giving her. And in Galatians 5:6, it says that that's how faith works. Faith works because of love.
How do we get a call on our lives to go preach the gospel? Why, you know, what made you want to go to Malawi?
I mean, all of us, wherever we are, right? We have the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. So before I went across the ocean, I was doing the same thing here. And just through friendships, you know, in our life, we have a spiritual habit of going out and sharing the gospel with strangers. And I think that's a good preparation. I did that with my friends too, and had great friends that came to Christ and started coming to church, and that's encouraging. And then it happened just by visiting, taking a trip for a conference and just seeing another people group that's also very hungry, very open, and wanting to know truth. And that was just a draw.
Yeah.
And Malawi, I didn't even know where Malawi was. And I thought, like, and I saw, heard the call of Malawi, I thought God was saying Maui, which also needs the gospel right now.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, but, they do.
After the devastation that's happened. But we went, I didn't know where it was. I knew it was in Africa. So I went and visited and just did confrontational evangelism. Went on the street, started talking to people, made friends with a lot of people that wanted to know the Bible. They were already saved, but by talking to them, we found that out. And then they wanted to learn the Bible more.
Yeah.
And that's when we moved there.
Well, that's awesome. And I asked that question because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? This is the example that we have in the scripture in Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to earth to save that which was lost, to redeem, to buy back. You know, that's our example. That's the primary example. And you know, we get caught up a little bit in the unreached people groups, and I'm so thankful that there are missions organizations. We 100%, you're talking to two guys who spent a good portion of their lives, you know, being on the mission field. So we have that in our hearts and our convictions. And you know, there are unreached people groups, but really, are there any people groups that don't know about the gospel? Well, everybody came from the ark, mm-hmm. right? Everybody was dispersed. Now, we've separated, gone our ways, worship pagan gods, lost their, you know, generations have been born. But even in those cultures, deep down at the base of those cultures, if they go far enough back, there's deliverance from the earth's flood, right? Mm-hmm. And salvation through the ark. And the demonstration of how the whole picture of the gospel message happens. So is there a need and a preparation in people's hearts, even in some of those places that are remote? I say absolutely. You know, even in the difficult places, you know, you think about Orissa, you know, or someplace in India or Pakistan or someplace where there's a lot of persecution against Christ. There is an openness for the gospel because of that. Mm-hmm. And there wouldn't be so much persecution and pushback unless there was the threat to the kingdom of darkness that comes from the gospel. So
yeah, and I mean, Pastor Schauer told a story in church about maybe some terrorists that came in and said they were going to kill a group of Christians.
Yes.
And they were ready in their heart.
Yeah.
And just that's a lifestyle that they saw.
Oh, my gosh, it is, yeah.
And they ended up leaving without doing any harm. But that peace that people had. So I think people see that, too, I think it's done in conjunction, that with their testimony at the same time.
Yeah.
But Christ, he came, he lived a perfect life, and you saw how he lived, but he also spoke a great deal.
Yes, he did.
So I think they need to be done together.
Yeah, you can't really separate one from the other, can you? You know, and the thing is, talking to Philippe Siragi this morning, and we were talking about evangelism and how sometimes the hardest part, you know, is not the confrontation. You know, this is an interesting point because maybe half of the population would say, oh, I don't like to confront people. I don't want to be, you know, confront them. That's uncomfortable. I'll just live a life that's okay and hope they recognize that. And then the other half would say, oh, confronting them is easy. Like, confronting them is really easy. The question is, can I live the life that I'm confronting them with, right? And, well, if it's a religious system that we're trying to promote, no, we can't. Right. But if it's the unadulterated grace of God, we share the gospel knowing that it's impossible for us to be perfect in every area. But the grace of God is part of that gospel message. And it shows that going back to the sinful vehicles that deliver the gospel, what about the prophets? The prophets were not perfect people, right? Mm-hmm. They were shepherds. They were, you know, different men of God from that were called. And while they were delivering the message, it was thus saith the Lord, right? Thus saith the Lord, because they were given the message of Jesus Christ delivered, you know, the gospel delivered even in the Old Testament message.
Yeah.
The voice of God of delivery and protection from being brought into captivity or being taken out of captivity or where they stood as the people of God. But it was the voice of God through sinful people.
Mm-hmm. I'd think about Naaman, too. Naaman wasn't from Israel, but he had, you know, when he heard that the servant girl that was stolen from, kidnapped from Israel, and just her heart, and she said, oh, I wish, to her captor, I wish you could know the prophet that's in Israel.
Mm.
And then his response was, I need to see that guy.
Mm.
So he could have easily said, like, you know, they're a conquered people.
Yes.
I don't want anything to do with them. But it sparked his interest, and he said, let's go see him. He goes and sees him. He doesn't get maybe the answer that he was looking for. Go dip in the Jordan seven times. That dirty old river, I can go to any other river. But again, he was correctable because his lieutenant says to him, if he asked you a hard thing, you would have probably done it, right?
Right.
But if you, why not try it? Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah, very good.
And I think that's a good picture of a progression of someone that is just open.
Hey, that's awesome. Hey, we have a special guest joining us from the show. It's our regular Wednesday host who is on the road today, joining us from his car, I believe. Pastor Love, are you out there?
Yes, I am, and enjoying the broadcast tremendously. Just to touch upon what you guys were just talking about, which is, you know, the world has this misconception, I think some believers have it, that you have to be perfect. You have to live an impeccable life if you're going to proclaim the gospel. No one has a right to preach the gospel unless they live a perfect life. But, I mean, I say that believers think that way too, because I know that when I first came to Christ, the person that was discipling me, I believed that they couldn't sin, that they didn't sin. And it's only as we keep reading the Bible and familiarize ourselves with the scriptures that we realize that God uses sinful people to preach a perfect message. Mm-hmm. And as you brought out, the message of the grace of God. Because without that message, then what we're really asking people to do is to live a perfect life. But if that's the case, you know, we don't need a savior, right?
There you go. There you go. The fact that we have demonstrated in our lives shortcomings and failures should be enough for us to know that we can't deliver people with our inability to have shortcomings and failures.
Yeah, I think it also sends the message to the people that we're preaching the gospel to that there's hope for everybody. Mm. Because if God can use us, weak earthen vessels, to share the treasure of the gospel, then he can use and use them as well.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's great program. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you. You're on the road. We're heading north, and we'll keep you in prayer. And thanks for dialing in and sharing your thoughts with us.
Yeah. Love the program. Love the theme. Thank you. God
all
bless.
All right, Pastor Love. We'll see you. There you have it. Pastor John Love from the road calling in today. Just expounding upon the grace of God and how, boy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be, Pastor Chris?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, that's such a truth. I love how the Bible is filled with fail people. Mm. Like God could have sugarcoated the Bible and just put all the good things in there. But you see the failures of King David and you see Samson and you see Moses. Pastor Shabelli says it, but it's so true. Like the majority of the Bible is written by three murderers, right? Moses, David, and the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And it just what Pastor Love said, that we are sinners saved by grace. And when people see us, it brings glory to God because they say like, yeah, there's no way they could do this. It has to be from God. It has to be supernatural.
Yeah. I mean, the message of salvation is one that's above and beyond who we are. I just love the fact that God, you know, if the Bible was a book that man wrote about man, then we would be on a pedestal, you know, on a platform, being exalted for all our incredible behaviors and all our incredible accomplishments. But it's not. It's a book about the fall and the redemption, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that we are as wicked as we are is pale in comparison to what he, you know, the righteousness that Christ brings through his blood. So the gospel message right from the beginning is, you know, one of hope that comes from the source above us. And we're really happy to see that. So, hey, we have some more time. If you'd like to call in and if you have a question, maybe you'd like to ask Pastor Chris, you were a missionary in Malawi for how many years?
10 years.
10 years. 10 years. And would you say they were valuable 10 years?
Oh, it was such one, just the greatest years of our life, the greatest friendships. Mm. I mean, I love one story that that illustrates this point, is that we were giving out tracts to people, and I gave a tract to one guy. He put it in his pocket. He went home. He was living with his brother. He never came to church. He just left his, you know, his jeans on top of his chair one night, and his younger brother saw our brightly colored tract in his back pocket, and he took it out and started reading it. And saw that, you know, he was already a believer, but he saw that we had a Bible college and a church, and he came, and he joined the Bible college. He joined the church. He's a leader in our church. Wow. He married a fellow Bible college student. They have a daughter together. He's a teacher in the Bible college now.
Wow.
And it's just an example. So we have so many different outlets. You know, we also have a radio program there. And, you know, we have many means to reach that we might reach some, like the Apostle Paul said. And so, yeah, it's great. It's great to see the hunger that people have sometimes. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the whole world, one of the top 10 poorest countries.
Wow.
But it's rich in faith, and it's rich in meekness, people that want to hear from God. And that's what we saw there. That's a great blessing, and they're doing wonderfully. We left in the end of May, handed over the church to the faithful pastors that are there, and they're running the church and doing really well. They visited the churches in Zambia that had a conference last month. They went with a group of pastors, and it was just great to hear the stories of.
Yeah.
Great faith.
I mean, that's a great compliment, isn't it, that you have men that got raised up to be able to take over the church. And I'm sure that, you know, as a dad is when he hands his business to his son, or, you know, any type of handoff situation is not an easy one because you have to let go. But isn't it awesome to see how faithful God is to raise up people, right?
Absolutely. And, I can say 100%, just like salvation, With men, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. It's the same for church planting. It's the same for evangelism. Like, God used us, our family, but he also used my mother and father were there with us for 7 years.
Incredible.
Pastor Matt Sliva and Lisa Sliva were with us. Pastor Albert Entelasha and his wife McLean and their family, they're from the church in Zambia. He was with us for also 10 years,
wow.
He and his family. And God used all of us to build up so many, you know, all the whole group of people. It wasn't just one of us, but it was a team of us that did it. And then the people that heard just took a step to do the same thing, and they are building people, and it's a real discipleship.
I love it. I love it. And the discipleship is that it multiplies. You know, it's like one seed goes into the ground and grows a plant, and that plant may contain fruit with many seeds, and those seeds go into the ground, right? And it multiplies. It's really an awesome thing. The whole topic and conversation of evangelism is something that's very near and dear to our hearts. And, we could put evangelism in a little box and say, that's what I do on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12. I knock on doors, but then that's the evangelism part of my life. And then the rest of the week I study, or I go to work, or I'm with my family. But isn't the gospel a message that permeates every area of our life?
Yeah, so much. And God will give opportunities like that so you can share your faith, not in like an actual setting that you're doing. Maybe it's good to do it with a church because there's a measure of joy that you have with the body.
Yes.
But then God will give you these, you know, divine appointments. I have a good story about that, too.
Yeah, tell us.
In Hungary, when I was teaching, I told this story to the guys at the guys' Bible study, but in Hungary, I was teaching the seniors. You know that you were the principal of the school in Budapest.
Yes.
And there's kids from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. You know, this particular kid, he was from, his parents were communists, and he was an avowed communist. He said, I don't believe in God. I'm only here in this school because my parents put me here.
Interesting.
And he said, you know, I was a substitute teacher for the seniors. I taught a Bible class about the anatomy of the crucifixion and how it would have felt, Christ being pierced with nails and just some medical terms and stuff. And he came up to me at the end of the class, which was really bizarre. And he said, hey, that was a good class. I really enjoyed that. And then the Holy Spirit said, like, now, preach the gospel to him. And I was intimidated. And I was like, I know this guy. I didn't feel comfortable. And I was, after that opportunity passed, I was kicking myself like, oh man, that was the time.
Wow.
So I was telling Pastor Graham, we were on our way to the church building on the other side of town in the subway.
Yes.
And he was saying, how was your day? And I told him the whole story. And I said, but I missed this opportunity. And he said, like, don't worry, God will give you another one. You know, God will give you an opportunity to share to him. You've planted a seed with that class.
Mm-hmm.
And literally 2 minutes later, the doors open, and I think it was in Blaha Luisa Ter. And who there comes through the door? This guy, Peter, came in. And then I just looked at Pastor Gray and was like, hey, here, we'll move on the other side of the car. Do what you got to do. And I shared the gospel with him. I don't know where it went, but he got to hear the gospel.
Wow, that's amazing. I love those opportunities that we have. I had a similar situation in Budapest where I had to go get a piece of medical equipment, and I called ahead of time to make sure they had it and had everything lined up, because as you know, in Budapest, when you travel anywhere, it's a long process. So I'm driving across the city, which is not so far where I had to go, 5 or 6 miles, but can take an hour.
Yeah.
And so after an hour and 20 minutes or so, I arrive at this place. I walk in the door. I'm with Yako Ati, and we knock on the door, go in. Do you have this part? Oh, what kind of machine do you need it for? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the different brand. That's at a different store. That's across the city. To which point, you know, the steam is coming out of my ears, because I don't have time to waste on such stupidity, such trivial things. And so I'm like, okay, we got to go, let's go. So I walk outside, and I'm just don't want to yell at the people that who had called and asked ahead of time. And as I'm outside stewing, waiting, he's not following me out the door. And 5 or 10 minutes later, I come marching back in there like, what are you doing? Let's go. And he says, hey, Pastor Barry, I want you to introduce you to our new sister in the Lord, so-and-so. And I was like, well, that's the reason I'm a missionary in this country in the first place. And doesn't God use the odd situation? Now, we do believe that having times in your schedule to purposely share the gospel is vital.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen as much as it should or could, but by the grace of God, when we're given the opportunity to go, we set aside a time and we go. But also, there's a lot of times where it's not time that's set aside. We're just operating in our lives. We're in an Uber, or, how many times in those taxi trips in Warsaw at the Eurocon do we meet somebody from some country and go, oh, I have a friend from there. Well, what are they doing there? Oh, let me tell you what they're doing there. And then you share the gospel. And who knows, in that 7-minute ride, God is meeting somebody right where they're at.
Yeah.
And what that's if we so didn't, good. What if we said, oh, it's not appropriate for us to confront something? What are you talking about? Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth to preach the gospel.
And it's a privilege to do it.
Oh, my gosh, it is.
That just happened to me. The same thing. I came from the airport last week. I was in an Uber late at night, and I heard I asked the guy where he was from, and he was from Burma.
Mm.
And I asked him, do you know Judson?
Wow.
And he said, yes, I know the missionary Judson.
Really?
And I was like, because I've heard Pastor Schiavelli say it 100 times, yes, but it's really true. And he told me that there's a certain tribe that is all Christians, and they have Adoniram Judson's Bible from the 1790s.
Wow.
And he said, I'm a Christian here. I live in near BWI Airport, and I'm like a pastor for a group of Burmese people. And I was like, this is so cool. Yeah. And we exchanged numbers, and he said, come and speak at my Bible study. And I said, you got to come to our church too, because they love you. Got to be, we've been talking about the Burmese people. Here's an example right here.
Yeah. And God uses opportunities and circumstances. I can think of times we were in a little town called Szolnok outside of Budapest, 40 minutes or so, and we were looking for a place to start a Bible study. Just randomly, I looked at a map, found a place, let's go here. A couple of us went, Pasha Zrednikov and a few of us, and we went to this coffee shop, because you don't do evangelism far from coffee shops, right?
It's hard.
We're in the coffee shop, I walk in, and I said to Pasha, I said, pay no attention to that alarm. They're working on the alarms here in the building today. So, but I said to him, hey, is that Christian music playing in the background? And we're having this conversation about it. And this guy at a table says, it is Christian music. Why do you ask that question? And we said, well, we're believers, and we find that, Christian music ministers to people. And he says, well, what are you doing here? I said, we're actually looking for a place to do a Bible study. He says, well, I own the franchise. I have a room in the back. You can do a Bible study right here.
That's amazing.
So, God uses these little circumstances, these little conversations, these little what we might call coincidental situations, but somehow to his glory, you know, gives us an opportunity. So, hey, folks, that just about does it for us here today. Pastor Chris, I love talking with you. It would be awesome. Continue this conversation. Let's do this again.
Definitely.
The gospel, preach the gospel in season and out of season. Preach the gospel with words. Preach the gospel with actions. Preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, right?
Amen.
And
if you heard that alarm and you've never received Christ, that's an alarm bell that should go off in your mind just to turn to him and say, I receive you as my Savior, Lord Jesus. I believe you died for me and rose again. Come in my life. That's what that alarm was for. That was the receive Christ alarm.
Amen. We're here talking about preaching the gospel. You just heard it in a nutshell right there, folks. If you've never had the opportunity to receive Christ, why put it off any longer? He's calling on us. And that was a great object lesson. That was the alarm. Don't wait till it's too late. Folks, thank you for joining us. Today is Wednesday, which means here in Baltimore, we have a church service tonight at our beautiful chapel. We'd love to have you join us 7 p.m. this evening. You can hear the gospel of grace preached from our pulpit. We also have services on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. and Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Come and join us locally here at Greater Grace Church. And join us again tomorrow for the next edition of the Grace Hour.